Fresh off the Republican National Convention, Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan thanked supporters at a send-off rally in Florida this morning.
Florida gave me the votes I needed to become the nominee, and I thank Florida.
A New York Times editorial today calls Romney's acceptance speech a reinvention of history, delivered in a, quote, treacly tone with a strange, misty smile on his face. In a kinder take, the Wall Street Journal editorializes that while Romney is not a natural politician, he, quote, would win in a walk if resumes decided who deserves the presidency. But most of the post-convention chatter today is, why was Clint Eastwood so off base in his empty chair mock interview of President Obama? TV cameras caught Ann Romney looking stricken by Eastwood's performance. On CBS Early Morning, Ann Romney was diplomatic when pressed about why Eastwood occupied primetime rather than some other earlier speakers who brought delegates to tears.
We appreciated Clint's support, and he's a unique guy, and he did a unique thing last night.
Eastwood's monologue prompted the Obama team to tweet, "This seat's taken," and more than 44,000 people are now following the parody at Invisible Obama. Joining us on the line is Hans Nichols, a White House reporter for Bloomberg News. And Hans, despite the Clint Eastwood distraction, the general consensus seems to be that even though Romney didn't exactly bring down the House last night, Republicans aren't just coalescing around him, but they're actually feeling energized by him. Do you agree with that?
Yes. I mean, it's so hard to have an actual metric to prove that point. The best people to talk to on that are sort of the party strategists that have been through this on, you know, six or seven times, particularly ones that aren't working for Romney, so they can be honest about it. And they're saying that the speech is a pretty good speech. It hit all the right notes. It wasn't a great speech. But convention speeches in terms of the nominee rarely actually decide who's going to be president. There have been important convention speeches, you know, Reagan in 64, Obama in 2004. Neither of them were the nominee at that point. The sense from everyone is adequate, and we'll see just how energized the base is in terms of the size of crowd rallies that they'll be hitting, Mr. Ryan and Mr. Romney. And then also, the polling should reflect how well they did with independents. But you got to give it a couple weeks to shake all the polls out, because there's a lot going on. We're heading into Charlotte next week.
Robin, our usual host, has been at the convention all week, and she's traveling today. But she called in this morning to say that the speeches earlier in the evening last night from members of the Mormon Church were very powerful. Let's listen to Pam Finlayson. Romney was her bishop here in Massachusetts, and she spoke about how he would come to the hospital to visit her prematurely born daughter who was on the brink of death.
As our clergy, he was one of very few visitors allowed. And I will never forget how, when he looked down tenderly at my daughter, his eyes filled with tears, and he reached out and gently stroked her tiny back.
Robin said the whole arena was sobbing, and she wondered if the campaign had made a mistake by putting them on so early because most of the TV audience didn't tune in until later. What are people saying about that?
There's always second guessing in a convention on the stagecraft, on the order of speakers and whatnot. Problem is, you don't know until they speak. But look, that was clearly an emotional moment. You know, Romney himself cried twice. I kind of too. Cried might be a little strong. She choked up twice. That was probably, I don't want to say it was staged, but there was an effort to show Romney as someone who is more like us, and he seemed like that. Certainly when he choked up.
Hans, based on the RNC convention this week, what do you view as President Obama's vulnerabilities right now? And then what kind of offensive and defensive moves do you expect to see from the Democrats at their convention next week?
Well, let's do the offense first, where the Obama campaign thinks they're well situated. They think they have a sizable lead among females, the so-called gender gap. And that's probably what they're going to be looking at most closely. I suspect they have field polls out there right now in the field. And they're looking to see if the gender gap narrowed, and they will then adjust their message accordingly to try to, you know, push abortion rights, push a variety of women's issues. Health care in women is something the Obama campaign really feels like they're in a good position to go on offense for. In terms of defense, they realize that Mitt Romney is no longer the caricature that they pretty effectively, with over $100 million, painted him out to be. Now, there's still that residual image of you know, in the words of Haley Barbour, governor of Mississippi, a well-known plutocrat married to a known equestrian. There's this image of Romney like that. That probably has been chipped away at a little bit, so there will be more of an attempt to define Romney.
So next week, we'll see at the DNC just how they deal with it and where Obama thinks he stands. That's Hans Nichols. He's a Bloomberg News White House reporter. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.